Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker, and Portland Hoffa. Our guest, Chief Nadaba, famous Indian guide, the Martins and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, if I say to you, Wednesday, February 12th, it means Lincoln's birthday. But if you say to me, Wednesday, February 12th, it means just another Wednesday. And here he is again, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know, I know. You didn't like the introduction.
No, Jimmy, I only wanted...
You never like your introductions. The same beef every week.
Jimmy, I only wanted...
I've got to think up something, don't I? I can't just say, here's Fred Allen every Wednesday.
Jimmy, I only wanted...
Maybe you better get yourself a new mouthpiece.
Now, wait a minute. I am trying to say to you that your introduction tonight was swell.
You mean you liked it?
Yes. Why, after all, mentioning me in the same breath with Lincoln...
What a comparison. Lincoln freed the slaves, and look at me. I barely finished eating dinner, and here I am back working. If that isn't slavery, then I don't know what is.
Stop crabbing. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be eating dinner. Oh, Kenny.
Sorry. Not right now, F.A.
Not right now what?
I haven't got time to say anything funny right now. I gotta go.
Well, what's your rush? Did Uncle Don hide something for you tonight? What's your hurry, Kenny?
I'm writing this essay for Mr. Goodman.
What essay?
An essay about Lincoln. It's Mr. Goodman's homework at night school.
Oh, is it? Have you gotten your facts together?
No, I'm going out right now to get a directory.
A directory to check on Lincoln? You mean the history, don't you?
No, a directory. I've got to look up a Mr. Gettysburg's address.
Oh, yes, you'll find it. And while Kenny gets in touch with Mr. Gettysburg, we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. Heavy rains that swept metropolitan area and Atlantic seaboard late last week left behind scores of stalled cars, flooded basements, interrupted telephone service, and highway washouts. Texaco News checks on storm flashes from entire eastern section. Baltimore, Maryland reports...
Rain so steady here, a statue of Henry Clay turned to mud.
Hogwash, Vermont...
Pawed here. 200 of my hens got lumbago from setting on wetness.
Nutley, New Jersey...
Streets were flooded here. I stepped off the sidewalk, the water was over my head. I went down four times before they pulled me out.
But you can only go down three times in water.
I know. If I could count, I'd have drowned it.
Hundreds of similar flashes poured in from entire eastern area. A tourist in New York City who was confused by the storm was Miss Trilby Lamour. You witnessed the deluge, Trilby?
Yes. I saw this fluid catapulting down. I didn't know what it was.
You didn't know what it was? You had never seen rain?
I'm from California.
Oh. You don't have rain in California.
I believe there is a small bottle of it in the museum at Pasadena.
Oh, come, Miss Lamour. You must have dew in California.
A dew is optional.
It's optional? How do you mean?
Well, if you want dew, there are men who come around every morning and service the grass.
Oh, they service the grass,
yes,
out there, do they? I thought so. I've heard of the many do-bills that fly around Hollywood.
You bore me.
Well, it's the old saying, you know, it never rains but it bores.
Well, I assure you it will never rain in California. Now, I suppose you'll ask me why.
Yes, I suppose I shall ask you why. Why?
Rain has to fall, doesn't it?
Yes.
Nothing can fall without the law of gravity, can it?
Ah, so the real reason it can't rain in California is...
The Chamber of Commerce has repealed the law of gravity. Ask me why.
You should live so long in bad health, yes. And thank you, Miss Trilby Lamour. A Navy man who had a most unusual experience in the rain was Ensign Naunton Keel. Where are you stationed, Ensign?
I'm at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. I'm a decider.
A decider?
Yeah, when a new boat is finished, nobody knows if it's a launch or a submarine. I decide.
Well, how do you decide?
Well, I get into the boat. If the boat sinks, I decide it's a submarine.
And if it doesn't sink?
I decide it's a launch.
I see. Well, about this rainstorm?
Oh, it was the worst dilemma of my entire nautical career.
What happened?
I was about to decide a new boat, the SS Flounder.
The SS Flounder,
yeah.
Huh?
The rain is coming down in torrents.
Yes.
I ease the SS Flounder out of dry dock. She sinks. I decide she's a submarine.
And you start to test her?
Yeah, I submerge. I come up. It's raining pitchforks, water everywhere. I can't see if the SS Flounder's submerged or if she's floating.
What did you do?
I keep testing. I'm shooting along. All of a sudden, I feel the Flounder is banging something on both sides.
Yes?
I stick out my periscope. I get me bearings.
Where were you, off Sandy Hook?
No, I'm down on the IRT subway at 23rd Street.
You were down in the subway in your submarine?
It was the rain, flooding everything. I must have come up on a street in Brooklyn, gone a couple of blocks, and submerged at Borough Hall.
Well, tell me, how did you ever get from 23rd Street back to the Brooklyn Navy Yard?
Oh, I took a local, changed at Canal Street. I was back in the yard.
What became of your submarine?
Can you keep a secret?
Yes.
I seen an IRT Express go by this morning. What do you think is painted on the side of the first car?
What?
SS Flounder.
Subway riders were jammed into a submarine and didn't notice the difference?
Not on the IRT, brother.
It could be, MT. And thank you, Ensign... Thank you, Ensign Naunton Keel. The man, though, who really had the most trouble as a result of the recent rain was Rudy Goober. You had a medley of dire adventures, Rudy.
I ended up in the clink.
You did? What happened?
Well, I worked down on the east side.
I see.
Friday, I go out for lunch.
Was it raining?
The sun is out. I'm walking along Canal Street. I see a guy laying outside of a clothing store. I think he's fainted.
So?
I pick him up, carry him into the clothing store, till I find out he owns it.
Well, how did you know?
While I'm trying to revive him, he sells me a suit of clothes.
You mean it's a racket?
Yeah, this guy lays outside the store, people keep carrying him in, bang, he revives and sells him a suit.
What kind of a suit did you get?
A brown bagatine.
Gabardine?
Who knows? The guy had a dialect.
Oh, well, now.
There I am, all in brown, a brown felt hat, brown bulldog shoes, a brown suit.
You were a symphony in sepia.
I'm hot.
Yeah?
Well, just as I'm stepping out of the clothing store, wham, this rain starts.
Yes?
That's all, brother.
You mean the suit?
Everything. The hat flattened out like a crepe Suzette. The bulldog shoes spread out like two briefcases.
Well, I'll
The coat shot up me back like a clawed skyrocket.
God.
And both legs of me pants zipped up me shins and lassoed me hips.
Well, didn't you get in out of the rain?
I couldn't move. I was hemmed in by this clawed octopus.
You poor man.
There I stood. My little brown pants, my vest around my throat like a neckerchief. The next thing I know, zing, I'm in a patrol wagon.
Arrested?
I'm not only pinched, I got 30 days.
For what?
Impersonating a Boy Scout.
But as folks in New York and the eastern states huddled together in dank groups saying, quote, "This is the worst rain this country has ever had," unquote, a voice from out of the sky was heard to say,
"You think you've seen rain. You don't know what rain is."
Who is that?
I'm Noah, brother. In my day, it rained.
Thank you. And now, through the magic of radio, we leave Noah abruptly and find ourselves confronted with Kenny Baker, who makes ready to sing Amapola.
A boy found a dream upon a distant shore. A girl with a way of whispering, "Si, senor." Each night while guitars would softly play, the tune seemed to dance round the words that he'd say. That lovely flower, so sweet and heavenly. Since I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you, it seems to be a rhapsody. Amapola, the pretty little poppy, must copy its endearing charm from you. Amapola, Amapola, how I long to hear you say, I love you.
Now, you just sit down and rest. Where is Larry Elliott?
Right here, Fred.
Say, Larry, I have something here that might interest you. Uh-huh. It's a memo from my private statistical bureau about the number of new drivers in the country last year.
Well, how many were there, Fred?
Approximately 2 million.
Say, 2 million new drivers, that's a lot. You know, if all those new drivers were placed end-to-end, why, they'd reach them.
I know. They'd reach for the gear shift and accidentally pull out the choke or something.
Oh, no, Fred.
Oh, yes, Larry.
I know new drivers trying to remember how to move the gear shift lever into first, second, and high always gets them as rattled as the Siamese twins in a revolving door.
Well, not anymore, Fred, because today's new drivers have a lot less to learn. Modern cars are simpler and more flexible. In fact, the act of shifting gears while driving is rapidly going out of style. But that business of first, second, and high, those three mechanical divisions of speed and power, never has meant much, if anything, to Texaco Sky Chief Gasoline. This different premium gasoline gets you off from a standing start with the speed of a flying takeoff. Idles in traffic with the same unfaltering ease. Yes, Sky Chief power is flexible power that responds smoothly and quietly to every driving whim of yours and to all demands of your motor. Fly the highways with Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
you. Maestro Goodman has completed Hungarian dance number 5. And now, ladies... Oh, what's this? Come in.
Sorry I'm so late.
Say, wait a minute. What is this?
Isn't this the Lone Ranger program?
This is the Texaco program.
Wrong studio. I'm sorry.
I'd like to be a squirrel for about 2 minutes. With all these nuts and radio, I would be very happy. Again with the door. Entree.
Pardon me, is this studio in use?
No. I am a ghost.
A ghost? Well, you got clothes on.
It's cold in here. Now, what is it you want?
I'm Carlin, network vice president in full charge of acoustics.
Well, so what?
I have a complaint that there is an echo in this studio.
An echo?
Yes, do you mind if I check on it?
No, go right ahead.
Is there an echo in this studio?
Yes!
That's all I wanted to know, thank you.
Sound man. Say, sound man.
Yes!
Are you the sound man?
No, I'm the echo.
I want the sound man.
Oh, excuse me.
Sound man.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Look, will you nail up that door? Now, don't let anybody else in here. This will be one radio program where people won't be coming in through the door. Oh, hello, Portland. I didn't see you.
Have you got 2 sticks of wood?
2 sticks of wood for what? Are you opening a termite ranch?
No, I've got to make a fire.
Oh, well, here's a match. Won't that do?
No, this is Boy Scout week. You're supposed to start all fires with 2 sticks.
Well, what do you want with a fire?
Well, I've got to make some coffee. Kenny's falling asleep.
Kenny's drowsing, doping, is he? What's the matter with Kenny?
He's a nervous wreck. He didn't go to bed all night.
Why?
Well, in yesterday's installment, Dr. Lou had Buck Rogers locked in Laboratory 13.
Well, why didn't Kenny go to bed?
He was too worried. He stayed up to wait for the morning paper to see how Buck came out.
Look, what happens to me should happen to Buck Rogers.
Have you got 2 sticks?
Oh, never mind the sticks. What about our guest?
He's a full-blooded Indian.
No kidding. You mean one of those Indians from the Tammany Wigwam?
No, he's a real Indian from the Sportsman Show. Mr. Allen, Meet Chief Negabe.
Well, good evening. How, Chief?
Good evening, Fred. It certainly is a pleasure to meet you.
Say, you speak better English than I do, Chief.
Thank you.
Now, before we start, Chief, what tribe do you belong to?
Well, I'm a member of the Penobscot tribe.
The Penobscots used to live up in Maine, didn't they?
That's right, Fred, and they still do. There are over 500 of my fellow tribesmen living in Maine now.
And voting Republican, no doubt. Well, does your name, Nidabe, have any particular significance in the Indian language?
Yes, a hard name to live up to. Nidabe means great friend in the Penobscot language.
Great friend. If we ever hear the president saying, my Nidabes... Professor, you find things so late in life. I just discover I'm an impersonator. Imagine what I would have been today if I'd known 20 years. I would be Milton Berle today, Chief, if I had known that.
Mm.
If we ever hear the president say my Nidabe's over the air, we'll know now that he's giving a bon fireside chat for the Penobscots. You know, I like those names the Indians give visiting celebrities. Jack Benny stopped at a reservation out west last summer. He was trying to get a blanket wholesale. The chief took one look at Benny's bald head and named him No Coma. But Portland tells me, Chief, that you're in New York here in connection with the Sportsman Show.
That's right, Fred. It opens Saturday at the Grand Central Palace.
Well, what is the purpose of the Sportsman Show, Chief? Is it just held to give Abercrombie a chance to see what Fitch looks like?
No, the aim of the Sportsman Show is to produce public interest in all outdoor games.
And you, as a veteran of the Maine woods, appear as an authority on hunting and fishing. Is that right?
Yes, I've hunted almost every kind of game you can think of. And I've done all kinds of fishing, too.
But with the sportsman show held in the heart of the city, how can you exhibit your hunting prowess, Chief? Now, what do? Do you take a crowd out and stalk a parking space down Madison Avenue, do you?
No, it isn't that bad, Fred. At the show, we try to reproduce as much of the outdoors as possible. Our feature exhibit is a large pool where we put on exhibitions of fly and bait casting, canoe tilting matches, and log rolling contests.
Log rolling contests, huh? Do you use real senators, do you, for the log?
No, this is a real log rolling.
Well, what other sports are demonstrated on your H2O stage?
Well, for a novelty, we sometimes put on the crow and duck calling contest.
Duck calling, huh? I used to know a champion duck caller in vaudeville years ago. He was a whiz. You know, I saw this fellow give a call, a duck call at the corner of 48 and Broadway one day. Well, sir, a Donald Duck sign came down off the Rivoli marquee. Four duck pins rolled out of a bowling alley. And the duck pants flew off of the chef in McGinnis's window. Now, I imagine in your hunting, though, you have occasion to imitate bird and animal calls on occasion.
Yes, I have. Puffy had many calls.
You have? Well, when making a call, do you ever get a wrong animal, Chief?
Well, up to now, I have never been skunked.
You... you were... Well, what are you... You're very fortunate. Well, what are some of the calls you do?
Well, sometimes when I'm out in a canoe and I get hungry and want a snack, well, I just lean out and give a muskrat call.
A muskrat, huh? What does a muskrat call sound like, Chief?
Well, you just pucker up your lips and go like this.
You know, you just... you just stopped in time. You just stopped in the nick of time. Four vice presidents came running out of their offices, Chief. But what other fauna mimicry can you conjure up on short notice?
Well, when an owl is in good humor, he goes like this. Then sometimes when he wants to scare you, well, then he'll go like this.
And, of course, when an owl is feeling under the weather, I guess he just doesn't give a hoot. Is that right? What other calls do you use?
Well, there's that long, moanful wail of the loon.
That's the loon, huh?
Yeah, and sometimes the loon gives a laughing call, like this.
You know that that sounds like Don Wilson flushing a studio audience out there. Well, Chief, it's been nice having you over tonight, and I want to wish you and all of your co-workers at the Sportsman Show a happy and successful run.
Well, thank you, Fred.
Now, before you go, what is your permanent address, Chief? Where can we reach you in a hurry?
Why, Fred?
Well, I'll tell you why, Chief Nadabe. In 1626, you Indians sold New York to Peter Minuit for $24. Now, suppose Mayor LaGuardia, after a budget meeting someday, hears that you are in town with 24 bucks, he might want to sell you the city back.
No, no, you don't. A bargain's a bargain, Fred.
Well,
you sure are. Good night, Fred.
Good night, and thank you, Chief Nadabe. At this time each week, we part our program in the middle, ladies and gentlemen, to make room for the Martins. Tonight they sing for you, Oh, for Heaven's Sake.
Old George, who came to town from Oskaloosa to sell his oldest milk and blend the cow, said he. Now she's a regular Lollapalooza. Fetch a $40, she will fetch 10 beans by head. This is a rattling lively city, by God. Just look at all those electric cars, by God. It surely is a doggone pity. Didn't put a half a dollar in my jeans. He met a girl. She had a little curl. She put it in a whirl. What a girl. no food. He was the devil as a rule, and as stubborn as a mule. Why, heck, how's about a little peck? Oh, for heaven's sake, let down your hair. Honey, Claire, let's forget the weather. I know I'm the one who started this, but you must admit you'll never miss one kiss. Oh, for heaven's sake, can't you take a dare? Honey, Claire, move a little closer. Don't you think it's time you fell in love? We belong together like a hand in glove. Don't be so cold, you're making me chilly. Turn on the heat. I'm not so bold, you're being so silly. Get on the beat, go be a willy-nilly. Oh, for heaven's sake, let down your hair. I declare, can't we get together? Just a little kiss.
What's that you say?
Okay. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Georgie, Georgie, pudding and pie. Kiss the girl and lay her cry.
When the boys came out to play, Georgie, party, ran away.
Pardon me, Mr. Allen. Excuse me for interrupting.
Yes, what is it, my little man?
May I sniff?
Oh, yes. Go right ahead.
Thank you. No, nothing here. Let me try over in this corner. No, nothing here either. All right, Mr. Allen. You can go on with your program. I'll be back on the hour.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ketchum. We'll be looking for
thank
you.
Thank you very much.
Gosh, Fred, who's that?
Why, he's Mr. Agnew Ketchum, Jimmy, the official network studio sniffer.
A sniffer, Fred?
Oh, yes. You know, his job is to sniff around the studios and see if anyone has been violating the rule against smoking. You want to watch out for him, Jimmy. If he ever finds smoke around you, it's going to mean plenty of trouble for you.
Well, say, smoke means trouble for lots of people, Fred, especially for motorists. Be on the lookout for it, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever you see a car with a smoky exhaust pipe, more than likely it's a sign of excessive engine wear, which only a costly repair job can set right. So before your car becomes a smoker, help protect your engine from these three sources of wear, which so often make cars smoke. Wear due to heat, wear due to cold, and wear due to oil impurities. Change to insulated Havoline, the oil made to resist today's intense engine heat, which can break down ordinary oils and speed up wear. Insulated Havoline flows quickly, too. Helps prevent the rubbing metal-to-metal wear of cold starts. Insulated Havoline also is distilled to remove carbon-forming impurities. Remember, your car was never designed to smoke. Change now to Insulated Havoline at your Texaco dealer. Help reduce excessive wear in your motor. Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York.
That was Hi There, Mr. Moon, the Eclipse arrangement played by Fire Chief Goodman and his 24 clinkers. Portland, if you've got quicksilver in that cloth, it's very handy. I just fixed my hair and everything in the back of that blue serge suit. But Portland, will you come over here a minute, please?
One, two, yes, sir.
Say, are you saluting me or are you just plastering down a spit curl?
I'm saluting.
Well, you don't have to salute. This isn't gold braid on my shoulder here. It's just a little egg yolk I got standing under a tall man at the automat. But what is this military maneuver you're giving out with?
Well, Kenny taught me his salute.
Kenny Baker?
He's Private Baker now.
Private Baker? Hmm? Poor Kenny has... Where is he?
He's backstage getting his uniform fitted.
So Kenny has been called, eh? When was he notified?
This morning. His agent closed the deal.
Kenny's agent booked him at Fort Dix?
Oh, he isn't going to Fort Dix. Well,
where is he going, South?
No, Kenny's stationed at 42nd Street, Branch Office 19.
Branch 19? Now look, Portland, the Army doesn't have branches around in every block. After all, the Army isn't the A&P, you know.
Well, Kenny isn't in the Army.
Well, what is all this uniform and saluting business?
Kenny's working for Postal Telegraph.
Oh!
Here he is now.
Left face, front two. Right face, front two. Forward, march. One, two, three, four. Company, halt, one, two. Hi, folks, what's jumping?
Now, look. Look, General.
Oh, I'm not a general yet, F.A. I'm just Private Baker, V.C.
V.C.?
Valentine Corps.
Yes. Kenny's with the Singing Valentine Division of Postal Telegraph.
Aren't you proud of me, F.A.?
Kenny, you mean to say that you have taken this job as one of those singing messenger boys?
I make my debut Friday.
Your debut where?
On the doorstep of One Blossom Borkin on 50th Street.
Your first solo Valentine, Kenny.
It's from a Mr. Loomis of Dubuque. He's crazy about Blossom.
Loomis sent Blossom a hot Valentine, did he?
Hot? I gotta sing it boogie woogie.
Well, all right. Enough about your sideline, Kenny. It's time to sing your song.
Oh, I can't sing any more tonight, F.A. I gotta save my voice for Valentine's Day.
Who said so?
Captain Butler.
Captain Butler?
Captain Butler is commanding officer of the 42nd Street branch.
Branch of what?
Postal Telegraph's 8th Mounted Bicycle Division, working north out of Times Square.
Working north out of Times Square? Well, you never mind Captain Butler, Kenny. You sing your song.
Oh, F.A., you can't stand between me and my career. My mind's made up.
Kenny, you're not going to leave us, are you?
Well, I don't know, Porty.
Well, you can't afford to leave a steady job here, a job like you have here, for a few days' work with Postal Telegraph.
I'll come out better financially. I don't get any tips on this job.
But money isn't everything, Kenny.
Money isn't everything, she says. This precise statement I am hearing someplace before.
When, Mr. Goodman?
When I'm signing with you.
Signing, he says. You call making a cross on a contract signing?
You call that a contract? A piece of Kleenex?
Quiet. Quiet, maestro. Return to your... I'm going to put a leash on you that snaps you back on the podium when you're through here. Now, listen, Kenny. Oh, come in.
Private Baker.
Gee, Captain Butler.
Of Postal Telegraph?
8th Mounted Bicycle Division.
I know. Working north out of Times Square.
East. We just lost north to Western Union.
Well, look, Captain, we're pretty busy here.
Private Baker is subject to daily inspection until Valentine's Day. 0 hour.
Look, I don't care...
Oh, please, F.A. You want me to get court-martialed?
Private Baker, attention! Present pencil.
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, sir.
Rest pencil.
Yes, sir.
Pull in your stomach.
Yes, sir.
Now prepare for drill.
Yes, sir.
Clear voice. What?
Sir.
Well, that's more like it.
Look, will you get this over?
Quiet. All right, Baker. Ready? Aim. Fire. Very good. Carry on.
Well, now I've seen everything.
Isn't Captain Butler military?
Military is reminding me.
Military, of all things, is reminding you? Military is reminding you of what, Mr. Goodman?
My brother-in-law was yesterday called by the draft. He left already.
For camp?
For South America.
Chile?
No, he left on a warm day. Good luck to him.
Now, please. Don't give your all, I mean, just on account. Please, maestro.
Well, you'll have to excuse me now, Mr. Allen. Duty calls.
What duty?
I've got to practice doorbell and push-button maneuvers.
Okay. Gosh, Kenny, I've never heard a singing valentine. Can you sing one for me?
Sure, Porty. I got my debut valentine with me.
Oh, the first valentine, the one for Blossom Borkin?
Yeah, the one Mr. Loomis of Dubuque is sending her. I'm going to deliver it Friday.
Sing it, Kenny.
Okay.
Well, don't you think it's a little personal?
No. It's love.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Go ahead, Kenny.
All right. Miss Blossom Borkin on South 50th Street.
No, wait, Kenny. You don't sing the address. You start singing with the message. You don't sing the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Just Loomis's message you sing.
All right. I do not send you precious stones. No gift of gold is mine. But today I'll have a heart attack if you'll be my valentine. $0.80 collect!
Gosh, Kenny, that's beautiful.
He'll get an offer from Town Hall before this night is over. Especially that singing P.S., that finish, Kenny, that collect phrase was really very touching.
Every week my brother-in-law is sending out telegrams.
What? What telegrams?
Racing tips. In the telegram, he is sprinkling wet oats.
Wet oats? What's the idea?
People should think it's straight from the horse's mouth.
I haven't got enough trouble. Come in.
Private Baker, attention!
Now, wait a minute, Butler. Private Baker has already been inspected once.
Private Baker is about to be drummed out of the service.
Drummed out?
Yes, Baker. You have just sung over the air a personal telegram.
Oh, but Captain...
Quiet! Baker, you revealed secrets to the enemy.
What enemy?
Blossom Borkin's husband.
You mean Mr. Loomis is a...
Loomis is a gigolo.
Oh!
Borkin is suing. Baker, you revealed a confidential communique.
Yes, sir.
You are guilty of treason. You are no longer fit to wear the buttons of postal telegraph.
Oh, but Captain...
Attention! The first button I tear off is the button of loyalty. The second button is for secrecy. The third button is obedience. And all these other buttons I'm removing on general principles. No more, Kenny Baker. Will you wear the buttons of postal telegraph? And now, Baker, what have you to say? What?
Sir!
Very well. Carry on!
Well, that does it, I guess. Now that the floor looks as though a roadshow of pins and needles had just closed here, maybe you can get around to singing your song, Kenny.
Gee, Kenny, I'm awfully sorry.
Thanks, Porty. I hope this doesn't get back to the Junior G men.
Look, Kenny, your number is Let's Dream This One Out. And let's have a little discipline around here now. Before you sing, take your hands out of your pockets.
I'm sorry, Mr. Allen.
Come, take them out.
But I can't.
Why not?
Six of those buttons Captain Butler ripped off didn't belong to postal telegraph.
You mean?
They belong to my suspenders.
All right. I'll hold them up for you. You sing.
Lovely night, swell orchestra, fine crowd so gay, and now to make it perfect, let's slip away. It's been so nice dancing, now how about chancing a moonlight view? Darling, let's dream this one out. You look so inviting, I'd put it in writing that I love you. So darling, let's dream this one out. The music will follow us sweetly up where the blue shadows start. And while the stars wink discreetly, we won't be a heartbeat apart. And maybe we'll say things, those let's name the day things that thrill us through. Let's try it. Let's dream this one out. Wink discreetly, we won't be a heartbeat apart. And maybe we'll say things, those let's name the day things that thrill us through. Let's try it. Let's
you pick up those buttons and go right over to the tailor. And now a word or two, or even three from James Wallington, M.D., Master of Duds. Tell us about your latest researches in dudology, Jamie.
Thank you, Fred.
Ladies and gentlemen, duds are, duds are...
Jimmy, what's the trouble? Have you got a frog in your throat?
No, Fred, duds.
Duds in your vocal cords?
Yes, I can't get started.
Well, gosh, Jimmy, you must have a larynx like a carburetor. I know that motorists can't expect to get quick starts on cold days if there are sluggish, slow-action duds in their gasoline.
That's right, Fred. It's the same way with my throat. I just can't get going.
Well, we can't have you going around like this, Jimmy. We've got to get those duds out of your epiglottis right away. Now, let me see. Say, I've got an idea. Say, Fire Chief Gasoline, Jimmy.
All right. I'll try to. Fire Chief Gasoline. Fire Chief Gasoline. Fire Chief Gasoline. Why, it's wonderful, Fred. The duds have disappeared.
Why, certainly, Jimmy. You don't get duds with Fire Chief Gasoline. Well, now that you're all fixed up and dudless, go to work.
All right, Fred, I will. Just like a motor goes to work with Fire Chief. Press the starter and that charge of Fire Chief in the cylinders goes off in a flash. Your engine takes hold, reaches full power quickly. And full power, you know, is economical power. Next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief. Remember, there's not a dud in the tank full.
And now the Texaco workshop players. Tonight they present some props coming in here. Looks as though it's going to be good. The props are getting less. The Texaco Workshop players. Tonight they present a demented reproduction of one of radio's most popular quiz programs. This version is called Truth or Subsequences. Over to you, Mr. Goodwin.
This is station KLUK. We now present that popular half hour of fun and quiz. It's Truth or Subsequences.
Truth or Subsequences is brought to you by the makers of Toothpep, the only toothpaste that contains
toothpaste.
Yes, Yes, folks, only Toothpep contains toothpaste, the mystery ingredient never mentioned by other dentifrices. In a recent scientific survey, it was proved that Toothpep does not contain helium, solarium, podium.
Or chicken fat.
None of these ingredients that clutter up other dentifrices can be found in Toothpep. Toothpep alone contains
toothpaste.
Buy a tube of Toothpep today.
And don't forget Toothpep's big 10-day offer. If you have teeth, send us your name. One of our demonstrators will call. For 10 days, he will live at your house absolutely free. Every morning and every night, our demonstrator will brush your teeth with Toothpep. If at the end of 10 days you are not satisfied, our demonstrator will beat your brains out. And folks, don't forget Toothpep's big contest. Mail in one word that rhymes with teeth, and we will send you a brand new concrete mixer absolutely free. Cement old friendship. Be a mixer. Send for your concrete mixer today.
And don't forget Toothpep's big free gift offer. Don't write us, and we will send you the new big all-out toothbrush. This is the toothbrush with the rear mirror attached to the handle. What is that hiding behind your wisdom tooth? It may be someone you know. You can see all with an all-out toothbrush.
And don't forget, Toothpep alone contains
toothpaste.
Buy a tube of Toothpep today.
You think that's enough commercial, fellas?
Yeah, I'm winded.
Me too. Go ahead, Ben. Give him the show.
Okay.
And now, folks, Truth or Subsequences. Presenting our full of fun master of quiz activities, Ralph Deadwood.
Good evening, friends. As you know, Truth or Subsequences is entirely unrehearsed. You know the rules. If a contestant doesn't tell the truth, he has to pay the subsequences. We're having a lot of fun here, folks.
Hey, take it easy, Ralph. Take it easy. Pipe down, Ralph. We haven't started yet.
Hey, that's right. What am I laughing at? I must be nuts. Who is our first contestant?
He's Mr. Everett Bilge of Pinpoint, Long Island.
Well, howdy, Mr. Bilge.
Hello. When do I get the $5?
Well, not so fast, Mr. Bilge. You'll get your $5, but first, what is your occupation?
Right now, it's trying to get $5.
Well, now, be patient, Mr. Bilge. What is it you do?
I am a professional yuck.
And just what is a yuck?
A yuck is a schnook who goes around making a dope of himself on quiz programs.
And you get money for this?
I will when you give me the $5.
Well, that brings us to a question. Now, are you ready, Mr. Bill?
Yeah. Shoot the query to me, Bleary.
Well, fine. This question was sent in by Mrs. Abigail Lodge of Rake Handle, Georgia. And Mrs. Lodge's poser is... Pay attention, Mr. Bilge.
Yeah.
Mrs. Lodge says, who was the first president of the United States?
Can I have that question again?
Yeah. Who was the first president of the United States?
FDR.
Oh, no, no, no. He's the president now. Who was the first president?
Oh, was there another one?
Oh, yeah. Yes, the initials are G.W.
G.W.
I know the answer. I know the answer.
Quiet. Quiet, you in the front row.
I know
no
the answer.
No prompting, please. Now, Mr. Bill.
The answer is George Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, darn that spoiled sport. He's ruined our first question,
hey,
Mr.
Hey, now
Bill.
Do I get my $5?
No, no. Not yet, Mr. Bills. That pest in the front row told the truth, not you. So you, Mr. Bills, will have to pay the subsequences.
All right, I'm the chump. What do I got to do now?
Well, Mr. Bills, here are two bananas.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you are to eat these two bananas simultaneously. And while you are eating the bananas, you are to sing Home on the Range. Now, are we ready?
I wished I knew some other way of making $5.
You don't, though, do you?
No.
All right, let's go. Mr. Bill just skinning his two bananas, folks. Everybody's screaming at the fun in the studio here.
Mr. Bilge is putting the two bananas in his mouth. Now Mr. Bilge is actually eating two bananas. He's starting to sing. Mr. Bilge is starting to sing Home on the Range.
Home on the Range. Dear,
if you want fun, folks, this is fun.
Do I get my $5 now?
Yes, Mr. Bilge. Here is your $5 and your big, giant-sized miniature tube of toothpaste.
Oh, thank you.
Well, what's wrong, Mr. Bilge?
I don't know.
Folks, Mr. Bilge has added some spontaneous fun. He's fainted.
Ralph.
Yes, Larry.
Mr. Bilge hasn't fainted. He's dead.
Dead?
Dead.
You can't tell what will happen on these unrehearsed programs. Larry, roll Mr. Bilge away from the microphone.
Okay, Ralph.
Now, on with the show. Who's our next guest, Larry?
There are two of them.
Well, this sweet little old couple here.
Yes, Ralph. Meet Mr. and Mrs. Barkley Crawl of Poison Pen, Iowa.
Well, good evening, folks.
Good evening. This is my wife, Martha. She's kind of frail.
Yes.
Good evening. I'll set my Boston bag over here.
Martha always carries a Boston bag. Her first husband came from Boston.
Hush, Barkley.
Well, too bad for looking at him.
Folks, I wish you could just see this sweet old couple. Now for the fun. This question, Mr. and Mrs. Crawl, now don't doze off while I'm talking to you. There's going to be some fun here in a minute. This question was sent in by word of mouth by a man who couldn't write. And the question is, who wrote Huckleberry Finn?
I know the answer.
Now quiet down there, please. If you don't stop this verbal molesting, sir, I'll have to call the police. Now, let me see, where was I? Yes. Well, Mr. Crawl, who wrote Huckleberry Finn?
I know the answer.
Quiet, you.
The answer is Mark Twain.
Confound that fat interloper. Well, and that goes both ways. Well, you folks didn't tell the truth, so it looks as though you'll have to pay the subsequences.
This where the sport starts?
Yes. And now, Mr. Crawl, for your subsequence, you are going to be a little baby. Larry, have you got that baby robe?
Uh-huh.
And the baby bonnet?
Right here, Fred.
Will you put these on, Mr. Crawl?
It's okay.
Mr. Crawl is putting on the baby dress. The crowd's roaring. He can't find out how to get into it. It's so long since he was a baby, he's forgotten how to get into it. Now he's putting it on. Are we having fun? There you are, Mr. Crawl.
That's not my baby, Martha.
Look at Mr. Crawl, a bouncing baby boy. You're a card, Mr. Crawl. You are a card. I say that again for the West Coast. Now, Mrs. Crawl, Mrs. Crawl, you are the baby's father. Now, you're smoking a big black cigar. Larry, stick the cigar in her mouth.
Okay, Ralph.
You look well in a cigar, Mrs. Crawl.
Thank you.
Now, Mrs. Crawl, you're the baby. Mr. Crawl, rather. I was mixed up without my glasses. You're the baby, and you're crying, you see? Now, Mrs. Crawl, you're the father, and you're trying to put the baby to sleep by reciting The Village Blacksmith. Now, let's go, folks. Mrs. Crawl is reciting with a big cigar in her mouth. The crowd is screaming, having fun. Mrs. Crawl has just pulled the baby's father out of something. He must have sneaked in. Mrs. Crawl puts the rubber end in his mouth. Well, the crowd is just about fun now. Yes, they've had enough. That's all, brother.
Okay, where's the money?
Well, here's your $5 and your giant-sized miniature tubes of toothpaste.
Thanks.
Say, Barkley's fainted.
Good heavens, Ralph. Mrs. Squirm's down, too.
Well, it must be that strong cigar. Larry, she's fainted, I guess.
Ralph?
Yes, Larry?
These folks haven't fainted. They've been murdered.
Murdered? Quiet, everybody. Now, keep your seats. Don't leave this studio.
Look at these bullet holes, Ralph.
Gad, in all three bodies, somebody in this studio has a gun with a silencer. Now, who fired those three shots?
I know the answer to that one, too.
That heckler again. Come up here, you.
You bet I'll come up there.
You know who shot these three contestants?
Yeah.
Who are you?
My card.
Mort Tripe, Radio Gagman. Jokes supplied for any program.
That's me.
You murdered these three quiz participants, Tripe?
You bet I murdered them. I broke up your Truth and Subsequences program, and I'll keep on heckling and murdering and I break up all these programs.
But why?
These quiz programs are putting us gag men out of business, that's why. Who needs jokes on the radio nowadays? Get people out of the audience eating bananas, dressing up like babies, the audience dies laughing. These studio stunts get bigger laughs than my jokes can ever get. That's why I shot him, and I'll shoot them all, every single one of them.
Now, stop yelling and come along, Tripe. You'll get the chair for this.
Okay, okay, but one thing before I go. You always ask the questions, Deadwood. Just let me ask you one question.
Okay, what is it?
Do you think radio will ever grow up?
Why, of course. It's growing up right now.
You ain't told the truth, bud, so now for a change, you'll have to take the subsequences.
Subsequences?
Yeah, wait till I get this.
Now, here, put down that seltzer bottle.
Oh, yeah? You're a fish, and you're going upstream.
Now, put that down.
You're getting this seltzer right in the pool.
A parting word from Larry Elliott.
The next few moments are devoted to the entire petroleum industry by the Texas Company. Through constant research, the petroleum industry has seen to it that America is not only prepared, but enjoys supremacy in the air for both the quality and quantity of its vital fighting fuels. Every American can take pride in the fact that when it comes to aviation, that modern arm of this country's defense, our boys in training in the Air Corps, our pilots, fly with the finest super aviation fuels in the world today.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Good night.
Thank you. The Texas Company is happy to join the nationwide salute to Boy Scout Week. The spirit of good scouting is the spirit behind good citizenship. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.